Good morning, and welcome to the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Good morning, friends. It is September 11th, 2023, Monday, and obviously important day in the history of the country with the 9/11 attacks. I was essentially new agent in the Charlotte field office. I was coming up on my 2-year anniversary with the Bureau when 9/11 occurred and changed the way that the FBI did business going forward. So probably led to some of the problem today, but that's discussion for perhaps another podcast. September 11th is also somewhat important to me. My dad died on this day 4 years ago. So I think a lot about what happened on this day for a variety of reasons. But over the weekend, you're probably wondering what happened in cyber world. Well, I assume you are, if you're listening to this podcast, and all the cybercrime ended. It was a good weekend. You can go about your day. If only that was the case. Well, as always, I have 6 articles. I'm trying to get it down to 3 or 4 important ones so I can kind of stay under 10 minutes, but seem to be failing at that quite spectacularly because just there's a lot of cyber news. I'm trying to highlight certain things that could be of interest or hopefully of interest to those of you listening. And I thank those of you who continue to listen and support the podcast, spread the word about the podcast. It's, you know, trying to build it up slowly. It's going to take a while, but like I said, it will be every day. We'll talk about something. And as always, the articles referenced in this podcast are in the show notes if you want to read about them more. So let's get to the first one. This is an important one. This is from securityaffairs.com. Rashida ransomware gang claims to have hacked 3 more U.S. hospitals. Perlugi Paganini reporting Rashida ransomware group added 3 more U.S. hospitals to the list of victims on its Tor leaks site after the Prospect Medical attack. Recently, the Rashida ransomware group made the headlines because it announced the hack of Prospect Medical Holdings and the theft of sensitive information from the organization. And now they have claimed to have done even more. These 3 hospitals are going to be the Singing River Health System. Where exactly that is, I do not know. I should have done a little. Oh, Mississippi. That's in Mississippi. This is obviously a problem in the healthcare system in the sense that cybersecurity is just not what you would hope it would be. Obviously, because cybersecurity costs money, right? And so for small, medium, and even large companies, and these medical institutions were probably not large companies, it costs money to secure your stuff. So, you have to find ways to work on cybersecurity while understanding that your budget is going to be limited to that. From the article, an interesting point here, cyber attacks on small regional healthcare providers have a devastating impact. In June, the St. Margaret's Health announced it is partly closing operations at the hospitals due to a 2021 ransomware attack that impacted its payment system. So this is really the problem with ransomware in healthcare, right? Because, you know, data is lost. It can have negative impacts like this case where a hospital system in a small regional area went out of business. So I recommend this to, if you are in the healthcare world, there are individuals out there, myself included, that can help you at least bridge some of the gap when it comes to cybersecurity issues, at least from a consulting standpoint. I mean, my goal here with the podcast or everything I do is to help people not become cyber victims. So don't be afraid to reach out and find people to kind of help guide you through some of this craziness, not just healthcare, but any small, medium business, find people to help you out. So again, we're going to see more of this healthcare. Why does ransomware work? Because people pay the ransom. It's as simple as that. And we're going to continue to see these stories going forward. All right, from bleepingcomputer.com, Lawrence Abrams reporting, Associated Press warns that AP Stylebook data breach led to phishing attack. I make this point simply because a lot of news organizations use the AP Style Guide. But the Associated Press is warning of a data breach impacting AP Style Guide customers where the attackers use the stolen data to conduct targeted phishing attacks. AP Stylebook is a commonly used guide on grammar, punctuation, and writing for journalists, magazines, and newsrooms worldwide. So what happened was there was an old AP, a third-party managed AP Stylebook site that was no longer in use, but it was hacked. And so the information on that was compromised, and then phishing emails went out to people whose information was on that website. I make all this, I mentioned this particular article, not so much because of the AP Style Guide, but simply to understand that phishing, social engineering is still the main way bad guys are getting in. It's an interesting article on LinkedIn where someone made the argument that, you know, if you know, not phishing test is 90% effective, everybody sees it, why is phishing still a problem? Well, it's still a problem because it still works, needless to say. So you're going to see, again, we're going to continue to see phishing and social engineering type of stuff as third-party entities lose data, and the impact is on entities that had no real skin in the game when it came to the actual intrusion. AP Stylebook, Associated Press here, is a victim, and their people that use their stock guy are going to be victimized because a third party didn't do a good job. You're going to see a lot more of that. Also, okay, from hackernews.com. This is, they don't really, I don't, it's weird. This is a weird site because they don't ever give their reporters any credit. It just says THN, but okay, so such that it is. Millions infected by spyware hidden in fake Telegram ads on Google Play. So spyware masquerading as a modified version of Telegram has been spotted in the Google Play Store that's designed to harvest sensitive information from compromised Android devices. Now, if you're an Apple user, this article means nothing to you, but there's certainly millions of people that still use Android devices. And according to Kaspersky security researcher Igor Golovin, the apps come with a nefarious feature to capture and exfiltrate names, user IDs, contacts, phone numbers, and chat messages to the actor's controlled server. Now, why they want that information? So they can conduct spear phishing and social engineering type attacks. So I say all this to say, if you are an Android user, just understand that the Google Play Store does not do a great job in preventing things like that. Now, fortunately, this has been identified. So ideally, they're taking down these apps, and there's actually listings of what the apps look like, but it does say the apps have been collectively downloaded millions of times before they were taken down by Google. So millions of people downloaded the apps, have them on their phone, and is currently collecting data off of their phone. That's a problem. So certainly if you're an Android user and you use Telegram, you may want to check your system for this bad piece of software. Also from the Hacker News, cyber criminals weaponizing legitimate advanced installer tool in crypto mining attacks. I'm not going to dig deeply into this particular article. I just want to make the point that the number one current cyber crime out there is crypto jacking and investment frauds related around cryptocurrency. This one's a little different. It's they're putting crypto miners, cryptocurrency mining malware on machines, but a legitimate Windows tool used for creating software packages called Advanced Installer is being abused by threat actors to drop cryptocurrency mining malware on infected machines since at least November 2021. So this has been going on for almost 2 years, and now they're figuring it out. This is really what we talk about when we say dwell time, and we talk about how long bad guys are in the system. No one's in the system here, but this particular criminal activity has been going on for 2 years with no one figuring it out until now. The attacker uses Advanced Installer to package other legitimate software installers such as Adobe Illustrator, Autodesk 3ds Max, SketchUp Pro with malicious scripts, and use Advanced Installer's custom action features to make the software installers execute the malicious scripts. This is from Cisco Talos researcher Chetan Raghu Prasad, sorry about that, in a technical report. So the nature of the applications trojanized indicates that the victims likely span architecture, engineering, construction, manufacturing, and entertainment sectors. The software installers primarily use the French language, a sign that French speaker users are being singled out. Why? Who knows? But certainly a problem in that it could very easily be transferred from French speaking users to US English speaking users and pretty much anyone else. So I make the point here simply that you have to be careful about downloading and looking at legitimate software installation, because if it's a zero day and antivirus doesn't know it exists, it's not going to block it. Now, how do you protect yourself from this? That's a rough one, because I'm not sure if you really can. It just shows that the bad guys are way ahead of the defenders on all of this kind of stuff. This article does not exactly say how to protect yourself from that. I said there's not a CVE listed. So if you use those type of tools or you're in that particular business sector, take a look at this article. It's a real quick read, probably take a minute or two to read it, get some more information. Then you can kind of look into your system and see what you got. All right, from Dark Reading, this is the Dark Reading staff reporting. Trickbot Conti sanctions affect top criminal crime boss brass. So I point this one out because I have my doubts, let's just say. So from the article, the Russian-based Trickbot and Conti cybercrime syndicates are facing increased pressure from the United States and United Kingdom, which have issued fresh sanctions against the group and outed several top operatives in the gang. Now, I highlighted this article because it kind of goes to show cyber reporting, right? And kind of the reason why I'm doing this podcast is to kind of dig a little deeper into what I'm reading on these articles and try to explain what they're missing. So these sanctions affect 11 people alleged to be involved in TrickBot, the modular initial use access Trojan that often presages ransomware attacks. The sanctions also target 9 individuals for their specific involvement with the Conti ransomware group, which broke up last year, with 7 of those people also on the TrickBot list. Okay, this does show that obviously these groups work together, not a surprise. And they actually list the people they've identified. Now, how they identified that, hard, who knows? I mean, there are FBI investigators investigating this stuff, and they've captured intelligence to figure out who these people are. All good stuff. But all we're doing here are sanctions. What is that really going to do? Honestly, I mean, what is, okay, are you freezing their account somehow? If all their money's in Russia, you're really not doing anything there. It does say that TrickBot has ties with Russian intelligence services. Well, no kidding. They all do. They all have some connection to Russian intel services or something. So this is not really that big a surprise. But I mean, all this to be said, you know, this is the Department of Justice and the U.S. Treasury trying to show that they're doing something. But really, at the end of the day, will this have any impact on ransomware or anything? It will not. Make somebody feel good, but, you know, whoop-de-doo. All right, last one here. I'm running out short on time. Again, we're here for a good time, not a long time. From SC Magazine, senators want a special government unit to help small businesses with cyber attacks. This is Derek Johnson reporting. There are precious few issues or topics capable of garnering bipartisan support in Congress these days. Finding new ways to tell small business, to help small businesses protect against cyber attacks and other digital threats. Sure, I agree. That would be great. Now, the problem is, how are we paying for this? And we're going to pay for this. What does it look like? How does it work? This article doesn't really say. I will say it's bipartisan. It's bought by 2 Republicans and 2 Democrats. Does it really get into how this is going to work, other than it's just another administrative agency that's going to come up with rules, regulations? Are they going to give out grants? Or how are they going to protect anybody? Hard to say. Let's say the unit would be responsible for creating a free public repository of cybersecurity resources for small businesses to tap, improving information sharing between the Small Business Association and the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agencies and other agencies, and conducting cyber hygiene reviews for small businesses that had to quickly stand up digital infrastructure to stay afloat in the wake of COVID-19. Now, my point here is, do we really need another administrative unit to do this? This can be done within CISA by itself or with outreach from the Bureau or whatever. This bugs me, because it would be easier if the government just was able to enable people in the private sector to do these things, like give out tax rebates or something for small businesses to do smarter things cyber-wise. The government's not going to solve this problem. It's going to require people within private industry to come up with ways to help secure SMBs and stuff like that. But, you know, you're probably gonna hear me say this over and over again on this. A government entity is not the solution to this, I'm sorry to say. Now, feel free to argue with me on this. If you want to post on LinkedIn and say I'm way off, I'm happy to listen to alternative thoughts, but I'm probably going to use this article in a LinkedIn post later this week and talk about this, who knows. But yeah. So I'm running short on time, so I'm going to let that go. But I appreciate, again, you downloading, taking a listen to the podcast. If you have thoughts or comments, feel free to email me. Find me on LinkedIn. Find me on Instagram. Find me on Substack. I started a Substack. We're going to kind of do that thing going forward. So, again, I have run way over what I planned to do. So sorry that if you stuck around with me, thank you so much for doing so. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll talk again tomorrow. Know that knowledge is protection. If we understand the threats targeting us, we can assess our risk, proceed wisely. Have a great day.
CyberSmart Morning News is written and produced by CyberGuy Productions. Feel free to email thoughts, comments, or suggestions to Darren@thecyberguy.com or follow Darren on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/DarrettMott. Thanks for listening.